Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Nun Tes. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches Amar Beis, the last words. Amar Rav, says Rav, Ano Hava Binyana Debei Rebbe. I was at the court at the time, I was in Rebbe's Bezdin when they decided the halacha that we had discussed in our Mishnah and we had discussed at the end of the previous shir. The halacha that teaches us that if somebody bought a property from the Sukrikin, the first owner has the rights to buy that property for the first 12 months after the Sukrikin obtained it. After 12 months, he loses that right. However, he always is entitled to the revia that we discussed at the end of the previous year. Says Rav, I was in Rebbe's Bezdin when this decision was reached. When they began deliberating and they took a vote to institute this takana, I was the first person that voted. Rashi explains, the Rav was not haktanim, now was the lowest person in the court, nor was he hagdolim, now was he the greatest person in the court. Mibeinonim, he was from the middle. And he was the first person to vote on this rule. Ask the Gemara for Natanam, but we learned that a Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin did a mominus vataharus vatumas meschilim and agodal. When we're dealing with din Torahs regarding tumah tahara or financial matters, the first one to cite his opinion is the most prominent member of the court. But din and nefashis, only when we're referring the din and nefashis, there meschilim and atzad, we begin by the least prominent judge. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin explains, because since it's din and nefashis, we're concerned that if the most prominent member of the court is going to voice his opinion, the people who are less prominent are not going to want to disagree with him. And we're referring to a situation of din and nefashis. Therefore, the Torah tells us, always begin by the least prominent person. But that's only when we're referring to dinei nefashis, because we're concerned that the less prominent people are going to not want to disagree. Although, certainly the Rishonim explain, if they hold different, they should disagree. However, by dinei mamonos, which we're talking about here in the case of Sukrikin, we begin with the most prominent person. So the question is, why here didn't they begin with the Rebbe's opinion first? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bered Rava, V'tamer of Hill Bered Ravalis, Shani Minyona de Bei Rebbe, and Rebbe's Bezdin, Kula Minyona Min Atzad Hava Meschilim. They would always begin with the least prominent person. And the Tumim explains that the Gemara is emphasizing that we always, in Rebbe's Bezdin, they always follow this approach. We cannot, he says, have a situation where sometimes we begin with the least prominent, sometimes we have to begin with the most prominent. It has to be consistent. However, the Rishonim debate why. Some Rishonim explain, because Rebbe is of the opinion, that even by Dinei Mominis, the halacha is, we begin with the least prominent member of the court. That's one approach in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is because Rebbe, as we know, was very humble, and because he was a very big onov, he didn't, even though halachically he should have been the first to voice his opinion, he didn't want to be the first to voice his opinion because of his anivus. What would be the nafkamina between these two pshatim? The nafkamina would be between these two pshatim would be who should be the first one to voice his opinion. If the pshat is because Rebbe holds that we treat dinei mominis like we treat dinei nefashis, so just like by dinei nefashis we begin with the least prominent member, so too by dinei mominis should we begin with the least prominent member. But if the vart is because of its Rebbe's anivus, because of his humility, then we don't necessarily have to begin with the least prominent member. As long as it's not Rebbe first, then he's showing his humility. But there's another pshat that Rishonim offer, which connects to the next Gemara. Even though normally, as we have quoted the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, by Dinei Mominis, we begin with the most prominent member. Because since it's Dina Mamonis, there is no concern that there's going to be someone who's going to hold back from saying his opinion. However, Rebbe, who our Gemara we're about to learn, describes Rebbe as a person who had Torah v'gedula b'makom echad. He was such a prominent individual, and therefore there's a specific concern that people will not want to disagree with Rebbe's opinion. And therefore, Rebbe is an exception to the rule. And therefore, even though normally, by Dinei Mamonis, we begin with the least prominent, not in the Besdin of Rebbe. For says the Gemara, Amar Rava Berei de Rava, Vitamer of Hillel Berei de Ravalis, Moshe Ver Rebbe, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe, Lemetzina Tarev Gdul B'Makom Echad. We don't find somebody who has in him the greatness in Torah and the greatness in financial. He was very, some explain he was wealthy. That's how Rashi explains that. Others explain that of great influence. Ask the Gemara Veloy, was there no one else in such a category? For Havi Yeshua, after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, there was Yeshua who was the Torah V'Gedul B'Makom Echad. Answers the Gemara Havi Elazar, when Yeshua was the leader of Klal Yisrael, Elazar was also there. And as the Mefarshim explained, in order to have this position of Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad, it has to be the person. It has to be a person who's the only person that has that position. Yeshua shared that place together with Elazar. Asked the Gemara, "Have Elazar?" But after Yeshua passed away, Elazar had that position by himself. Answered the Gemara, "No, have a Pinchas." There was Pinchas who was still alive, and Pinchas had Torah V'Gedula. And as the Mefarshim point out, even though Pinchas was Elazar's son, that doesn't contradict the fact that he could be Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad as his father could have it. Answers the Gemara of Ava Pinchas. After Elazar died, Pinchas had this position all by himself. Answers the Gemara, have Zakenim. The Zakenim were alive who had this position. Asked the Gemara, have a Shaul. But there was Shaul who had in himself the characteristics of Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad. Answers the Gemara, have a Shmuel. In the time of Shaul, Shmuel also was alive, and he had Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad. Asked the Gemara, v'noch nafshei, Shmuel died while Shaul was still Melech. Answers the Gemara, kula shni kamrinan. The people who we were identifying as having Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad were people that had it their entire lives. At no point did they share it. Shaul, for a time, shared it with Shmuel. Asked the Gemara, v'have a David. David HaMelech had Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad. Says the Gemara, Avi Ira HaYiri. Yira Yiri was a Gol B'Torah. Asked the Gemara, V'noch Nafshei. Ira HaYiri passed away before David. Says the Gemara, Kul Shnei Binin. David HaMelech did not have it all of his career. For part of his career, he shared it with Ira HaYiri. Asked the Gemara, Ha'av Shlaima. Wasn't Shlaima HaMelech a person who had Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad? It says the Gemara, Hava Shima Ben Geiri. Shimon ben Geiri was a godel b'Torah. Asked the Gemara v'Katli, Shlomo HaMelech killed Shimon ben Geiri, and then he was left alone. And so the Gemara again, Kula Shnei Kamrinan. We're referring to a person who had it his entire life. Asked the Gemara, Ha'av Cheskia. Cheskia was Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad. Says the Gemara, Ha'av Shivna. Shivna, who was alive during Cheskia's time, was Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad. Asked the Gemara Ikto, Sancheriv killed Shivna while Chizkiya was still king. Says the Gemara, Kula Shni Kamrinan. We're talking about Chizkiya's entire life. Asked the Gemara, Vava Ezra. Ezra at Torah V'Gedula B'Makom Echad. Says the Gemara, Hava Nechemya ben Hakalia. During Ezra's time, there was also Nechemya ben Hakalia. It's interesting to note that the Yerushalmi, when it has this Gemara, omits teaching us about Chizkiya. And the Mefarshim explained that the reason the Yerushalmi deletes Chizkiya is because Chizkiya wasn't Melech over all of Klal Yisrael, because in the time of Chizkiya, the Seres HaShvatim were taken to Golis, and therefore he wasn't the leader of all of Klal Yisrael. However, asked Mefarshim if that's pshat in the Yerushalmi, so out the Yerushalmi itself includes in its shak levataria asking about Ezra. Ezra also was not the leader of all of Klal Yisrael. In the time of Ezra, the Aseres HaShvatim were in Golus. So why is the Gemara only, why does the Yerushalmi only omit Chizkiyah and not omit Ezra? So Mefarshim explained, during the monarchy of Chizkiyah is when the Aseres HaShvatim went to Golus. So that certainly diminishes the Gedula of Chizkiyah if under his watch 10 Shvatim went to Golus. When Ezra became the leader of Klal Yisrael, the Aseres HaShvatim were already in Golus, so it doesn't represent any diminution of his leadership, because it was already, they were already gone before he took on the position. Says the Gemara, Amar of Achavarei Derava, Afani Omer, Mois Rebbe Vad Ravashi, from the times of Rebbe to Ravashi, Lametzina Tar Vagdula Mekam Echad. There was nobody else in this position. Says the Gemara, Veloi, is that true? Vahava Huna Ben Nosson, Huna Ben Nosson was also a person at Tar Vagdula Mekam Echad. Says the Gemara, Shani Huna Ben Nosson, Dava Mechav Chavachayef L'Ravashi. Huna Ben Nosson really subordinated himself to Ravashi, and therefore he's not considered an individual of Tarev Gedula Makom Echad. So as we finish the Gemara, we really have identified, the Gemara has identified three individuals who had Tarev Gedula Makom Echad: Moshe Rabbeinu, Rebbe, and Ravashi. And the Mefarash will explain what is the common denominator between these three individuals. These were the three individuals who recorded the Torah for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah of Ksav, Rebbe gave us the Mishnayis, and Rav Ashi gave us, was the one that was the one that organized the Gemara. So as Mefarshim explained, they look at it in two different perspectives. One perspective is that in order to be able to influence Klal Yisrael, you need to have a person in such an important manner, you have to have a person of prominence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that these three individuals should be individuals of Tarev Gedula Makom Echad, that we should be prepared, that Klal Yisrael should be prepared to accept the Torah from them. Others, however, say that that is the definition of Gedula. The definition of Gedula is not financial wealth. Is that something to really reckon with? But what it means is that they had Torah. But what is the importance of having Torah? The importance of having Torah is to be able to disseminate that Torah. The three prime examples in the history of Klal Yisrael of individuals who disseminated Torah are these three individuals: Moshe Rabbeinu, Rebbe, and Rav Ashi. Says the Mishnah. But in introductory remarks, as we begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, our Mishnah. Throughout Halacha, we speak about a cherish. A cherish we know is a person who's a deaf mute. The Halacha views a deaf mute as a person who's not a bar das. The Rishonim all seem to agree that if someone is able, a cherish is a deaf mute, as we said. If someone is able to hear and not speak, Rachman Otzlan, he certainly is considered a bar das. A person who's unable to hear but is able to speak is actually Machlokes Rishonim on what category do we put him. So since this person who's a cherish is not a bar das, he ostensibly cannot enter into any business transactions or anything else. However, says the Mishnah, Chazal instituted the cherish roimis, a cherish could signal with his hands to indicate his intentions for Nirmas, and somebody else signals to him, and we could see that he's accepting what that person is saying, and therefore that's considered a valid way of him to communicate and affect transactions. Ben Beseira says that koifetz v'nikvetz, not only in this way most Rishonim understand the opinion of Ben Beseira, that Ben Beseira is coming to teach us a leniency. That not only is it acceptable by Cherish to be Roimiz v'Nirmaz, but also Kaifetz v'Nikvetz. mouthing his intentions and others mouthing their intentions to him would also be acceptable. However, this then applies b'metaltlin, when he's doing transactions regarding metaltlin. What would be the halacha regarding karka is machlokes rishonim. Rashi and the Rambam hold that a cheresh cannot affect any transactions by karka, even with remiza. Because for karka, explains the Sma, there's a higher level of intelligence that's required, something that the halacha views that the cheresh doesn't have, and therefore a cheresh cannot do transactions regarding karka. The Ravid and the Meiri disagree. The Ravid and the Meiri say that a cheresh can do business transactions even regarding karka. However, what the Meseir is teaching us is that by metaltalin, not only is he allowed to do business transactions b'remiza, he could even do business transaction b'kfitza. By karka, they say the halacha will be that he could only do business transactions b'remiza. Haputos, young children, and the Gemara Mitzvah will identify what age are the age of these young children. Mecha, mecha, or memkar, memkar, b'metaltalin. When they're doing business regarding metatlin, and again the Gemara will explain why strictly by metatlin. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Nachman, the machlokes in our Mishnah, if remiza is required or kfitza is adequate, is b'metatlin. When we're discussing metatlin, avol the gittin, when it comes to a get, the rehakav remiza, everybody agrees that remiza is what's required. And there's a shaila amongst the paiskim, how to understand this statement of a begitten the rakav remiza. Clearly, the Gemara is teaching us that a cheresh that's divorcing, for his divorce to be valid, it has to be remiza. Because, as we've been learning, Masech the Gittin, there are very many details involved in properly writing the get, and they can only be accomplished, remiza is what's going to be required. But what will be the din regarding kedushin? Will the halacha be regarding the kedushin that also only remiza is acceptable? Or, since it's easier to affect kedushin than to affect gittin, maybe the Gemara will hold that for kedushin, kfitza is adequate. Before we go further, it's important to indicate that when our Mishnah and our Gemara teach us that a cheresh could affect a get b'remiza, we're only referring to a cheresh who was a cheresh when he got married. So therefore, since the kedushin were only a kedushin derabbanan, because he was a cheresh and he made the kedushin b'remiza or perhaps a kfitza, as we just explained, he could divorce his wife also b'remiza. But what would be the din if somebody, when he married, was Baruch Hashem fine, and therefore when he was Mekadosh his wife, it was a full-fledged Kedusha Daraisa, and then afterwards, Rachmana Litzlan, he becomes a Cherish, and a Cherish could only affect the Gittin Derabonin Beremiza, such a couple will never be able to get divorced, because a Get Derabonin, a Get Beremiza, cannot terminate a Kedusha Daraisa. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious that the statement Rav Nachman made, we understand from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says b'metaplin tanan, that only b'metaplin is there a question if kfitza is acceptable. Clearly by get, kfitza is not acceptable. Answers the Gemara, ma de tema, perhaps we should understand the Mishnah after b'metaplin. For as we just explained, when a cheresh is divorcing, he's always only terminating a kedushe de rabbonim. Metaplin, however, we can have a situation where it's deraisa. What happens if a cheresh inherits the metaplin of his father? His ownership in those metaplin is an ownership medaraisa. So perhaps what the Mishnah is teaching us is that by metaplin, where we could be dealing with a situation of a deraisa, teaches us ben b'seira that kfitz is acceptable. If so, certainly by a get, which is only midrabanon, kvitzah should be acceptable. That's what Rav Nachum comes to teach us. That by metamplin, we don't have to have such a high level of intellect. Even if it's possibly a situation of deraisa, kfitza will be acceptable, but not by a get. However, ikadamri, there's a different opinion that says, Amar Rav Nachman, k'machloikas b'metamplin, kach machloikas b'gitin. The same machloikas we have regarding metamplin, if kfitz is acceptable, it's the same shaila that we have regarding get. Ask the Gemara for nam metamplin tanan. But didn't our Mishnah indicate that the shaila of kfitza is only questioned by metamplin? By get, it seems that our Mishnah clearly teaches us that kfitza would never be acceptable. And says the Gemara, ema af metamplin. The way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is saying that even a metamplin, which we just explained a moment ago, may be a question of a doraisa. Still, Ben Beseira teaches us that kfitz is acceptable, and certainly so will be the din by a get. So it will be the din by get. So we learned in the Mishnah HaPu'utais, young children, Mecha Mecha, or Mekera Memka B'metatlan. Ask them of At Kama, what is the age of such a child that his transaction will be acceptable? Machi Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzhak Berei, he showed his son, Rav Yitzchak Kvashis Kvasheva, when the child's 6 or 7 years old. Rav Nachman Amar, Kvashev Kvatamni, 7 or 8. Masnisatana, Kvatesha Kvaeser, a 9 or a 10 year old. Says the Gemara, there's really no machloikas here. V'loi Pligi, Kolchad V'chad Lafi Churchfei. Every child according to his intelligence. Some children develop younger, and some are older. So I saw that the Rishonim make a number of observations. One observation that they say is that in each opinion that's cited in the Gemara, there's two ages, 6, 7, 7, 8, 9, 10. How do we understand that? So the Mefarshim explained that we know that girls mature earlier than boys. So when the Gemara says 6 or 7, we're speaking about a child who's particularly intelligent. But the Gemara is saying that a girl will be a very smart girl by 6. A boy, even if he's very mature, needs to wait till 7. And same as we go further. The Rishonim also point out that what is the explanation that the Gemara is putting it into separate groupings? The Gemara says that we're talking about 3 different type of children. A very smart, mature child is 6 or 7. An average child, explained the Rishonim, if you have a child, unless you know different, any child that's in the group that's 9 to 10, you could assume is of proper intelligence, unless proven otherwise. And an 8 or 9, and a 7 or 8 year old is the average situation. Ask the Gemara V'tamamai, so why did Chazal indeed say that a child who's this young can enter into business transactions? Amar Rabba Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Meshem Kedei Chayiv. He needs what to live on, so that's why Chazal allowed him to sell property. So, sell movable property, metaltlin. So as the Mefarshim explained, therefore if the child has parents, Baruch Hashem, or has an apotropos who's taking care of his needs, there will not be a heter, there will not be a dispensation that he could do business. Also, there's a Machloikas Rishonim, that our Mishnah is saying, that our Gemara is saying, that we allow this child to do business transactions, so they should be able to have what to live on. What's going to be the din? Can he do business transactions even more than what he needs to live on? Some Rishonim say, no, the Gemara's heter is only for Kedei Chayav. Others say that once Chazal allowed these children, given the proper conditions, that they could do business transactions, like plug, they don't begin differentiating, is it Kedei Chayav or is it not Kedei Chayav? The Pasuk says, V'yoyma ha'shalah matcha hoitzi levush l'chol ovdei habal. They were going to kill the Kohani Abal, and they wanted to be able to identify who were the Kohani Abal, and they said that they should put on special clothing. My malatcha, what does that mean? Amar of Abba Bar Yaakov, Amar of Yochanan, Dover Ham Nimlo V'Nimtach, something that's rolled and stretched, which means linen, whose threads are stretched, by rolling them between the fingers. Kiyosar Avdimi Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Shigaloi Bunyan ben Bunyan el Rebbe. Bunyan ben Bunyan sent to Rebbe, Sivni v'chaymes saslo ma'amlo. He sent them clothing made out of these different fabrics. Says the Gemara, Sivni v'chaymes, Sivni and chaymes are such thin materials that when you fold the garment made out of these materials, it folds into such a small piece that is the size of amgoizo palgadim goizo, the size of 1.5 knots. Sanslo mamala, clothing made out of sanslo mamala, are also very thin, to pisco palgadim pisco. They can be folded into the size of 1.5 acorns. My mamala, and again ask them, what is the definition of the word mamala? Davar hanimel v'mimtach, something that's rolled and stretched. The Gemara teaches us in Masechta Baba Metzia that if somebody enters into a business transaction, if there was an overcharge more than a shtus, more than a sixth of the value, it's a mekachtos. The entire transaction is nullified. If it's a shtus, if it's exactly a sixth, mecha mekach, the transaction stands. However, the overcharge must be returned. If it's less than a sixth, then the halacha is that the deal stands and no money has to be given back. Ask the Gemara. We're learning in our Mishnah and our Gemara that even children are able to enter into business transactions. Ask the Gemara to also not come up, what is the charge? What's the din by the mistake that's done by a cotton? Omer Rav Yoina, Omer Rav Zeira, at shtus kegodl. The same din that you have by a godel is by a cotton. So there's a very fundamental machloikus rishonim in understanding this Gemara. Clearly, the rishonim explain that if there's an overcharge of more than a sixth or of a sixth, the din by godel, by cotton, is the same as a din by godel. But what will be the din if there is an overcharge of less than a sixth? That we just said that by gedolim, by adults, if there was such a situation, the halacha is that there's no money given back. Says the Rambam, so too is the din that by a cotton. However, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says that what's the reason that if there's an overcharge of less than a sixth, there's no money returned? Because we assume that he's meichel. It's not a significant amount of money, and he's meichel. Says the Ravid, that's only by godel who has the halachic ability to be meichel, money that's due to him. But if we're talking here about a cotton, and a cotton doesn't have the halachic ability to be meichel, money that's owed to him, says the Ravid, therefore the halacha is that the cotton, even if the overcharge is less than a sixth, gets back that money. Ask the Gemara, Boya Baya, Matnosumai, what is the halacha about giving a gift? If is by a cotton, Rav Yehima ematanos matana, a cotton does not have the ability to give a gift. My Rav Ashiyama matanos matana, just like a cotton can enter into a business transaction, as we've been learning, so can he enter? Can he give a gift of chua? So the, says the Gemara, the Talmidim and the Yeshiva by mistake switched the opinions of this machlokes around. In other words, they said the opinion of Rav Yemer to Mar by Rav Ashi and vice versa. V'shedrul kameh d'Ramotcha, and they reported the machlokes to Ramotcha. Amalu, so Ramotcha told them, Zila Amalu b'Mar, go tell Mar by Rav Ashi, lav hochi ava uvda. Isn't this what happened? Kavakoy Mar chad karia arro, v'chad karga darga. You had 1 foot on the floor and 1 foot on the step. Vamrlan, and I asked you, Matnosamai, what is the din if a cotton gives a matana? Vamrlan, and you responded to us, Matanosam matana, he is able to give a gift, just like Achas matana shchimera, whether we're talking about a matana of a shchimera, or whether matana madbari, Achas matana merubav, Achas matana matas, whether it's a large or small gift. Clearly, that is the opinion of Mabar Avashi. Says the Mishnah, the following halachas were instituted because of Shalom. Kohen Rishon, the Kohen should get the first aliyah. Vachav Levi, then a Levi. Vachav Yisrael, Neidak Yisholem. And as the Mefarshim point out, the Mishnah regarding this rule uses the words Dake Shalom twice, because the Mishnah is teaching us two rules. First of all, one rule is that the Kohen comes before the Levi, and the second rule is that the Levi comes before Yisrael, and that's why the Mishnah mentions Dake Shalom twice. Ma'arvim Beis Yoshin M'nei Dake Shalom. The halacha is as follows. Midaraisa, one could carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yochid to another Rosh Hashanah Yochid. However, Chazal said that there are different types of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Sometimes there's a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, which is my private home, which let's say leads into a courtyard, or let's say leads into a foyer, which is shared by many apartments. So even though both of these areas are Rosh Hashanah Yochids, there are different types of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. My Rosh Hashanah Yochid, my home, is a private, my own Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And the other areas are Rosh Hashanah Yochid that's shared. Chazal said that in order that one should chas v'shalom not come to confuse and carry from a Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, the din is you can't carry from one type of, from a more private Rosh Hashanah Yochid to more public Rosh Hashanah Yochid. However, Shlomo HaMelech instituted that by putting an Areva Chatzeris, by all of the members of this common area putting food into the home of one of these members, they could all now carry from one to the other. Says the Mishnah that, and we'll explain the din Mitzvah Shem more in tomorrow's Shir Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, that the halacha is that if the Erev was always placed in one of the homes, that home should remain the home where the Erev is placed for always placed. And as the Mefarshim explained, the entire concept of a Ruvei Chatzeris is because of Dake Shalom, because we wanted to foster a situation that we could carry between homes, and therefore Chazal were particularly concerned about Dake Shalom when they spoke about Erevin. Says the Mishnah further, Ba'ashu Karav La'ama Mesmal Arishin Mimnei Dake Shalom. The Mishnah is referring to a situation where there is a public irrigation channel going down a mountain. It's emanating from a source of water at the top of the mountain, which goes down the mountain. Sometimes people want to divert that channel to go to their private water sources. And the question is, if you have a number of farmers up and down the mountain, who's the one that have the right to first divert the water? So Chazal said the people on the top of the mountain who are closest to the source of the water have the first rights to divert that water. Another din, Metzudas Chai V'Oifes V'Dog M'Sh'esh B'Megezel Mit La'alocha. If I put out a trap and an animal, a bird, fall into the trap, it's not considered that I obtained ownership of that bird. However, Neidaka Shalom, or of that animal, Neidaka Shalom, Chazal said that once it falls into my trap, it becomes mine. Rabbi Yossi, I'm a Gezel Gomer. And we'll learn in the Gemara, the Nafkamina, between the opinion of Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi. Similarly, Metzias Cheresh Shait V'Katan, even though, as we just explained, a Cheresh Shait V'Katan with a Raisa do not have the ability to affect the Kenyan, Chazal said that if a Cheresh Shait V'Katan do find something, it becomes theirs, from Neidaka Shalom. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, again, Gezel Gomer. Ani Amanaka Beresha Zayis. If you have a poor person who's climbed to the top of an olive tree to take off the matnas anim, and as he's on top of the tree, it's impossible for him to get all the olives, and some of the olives fall to the floor, so even though he didn't actually seize those olives. The halacha is those olives belong to him, and if somebody takes those olives, Masha Tachtov Gezel, he's violating Gezel, Mnei Dake Shalom, Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gom. The Rishonim discussed, the Mefarshim discussed, is this din only by an olive tree, or is it by all trees? Many Mefarshim, the Chavis Yor, and other Paiskim say it's clearly not only by an olive tree. If anything, they say, an olive tree does not grow as tall as all other trees. So if by an olive tree was saying this din, certainly the din will be by all trees. However, there are other opinions that say that this, the Gra seems to say that this is a din only by an olive tree. The Paiskim also say that this din that we just learned in our Mishnah is the source for the halacha that one has to be careful not to take away business for someone else. The Paiskim say, for example, that if I, as a business person, were able to identify the source for a specific product, one should not go to that source and take that away from me, because if the supplier now will have opportunity to do business with the second person, he will not treat me properly. So if I just found him, but he didn't do anything, I didn't help him create his business, so then the din is that anybody could buy from anyone. But if I helped that person go into business, and now someone else will take this away from me, it's considered gezel. Another din, if Oiv the Chacham come to take Maknas Aniyim, Leket Shechav Peah, we don't stop them, Neidak Shalom. Ask the Gemara. The first thing we learned in the Mishnah was that the order of the Aliyahs, Koyin Levi V'Yisrael, ask the Gemara, Menani Mili, from where do we notice then? Ask the Gemara, ask the Chassam Sofer, what's the Gemara's question? The Pasuk clearly says, the Mishnah clearly taught us, Daki Shalom. Why would I ask Menani Mili? Answer the Chassam Sofer. We really have two options. On one hand, we know that we have to treat more prominent people first. On the other hand, there's a rule, a malim b'kodesh ve'maridin. So the question that the Gemara is asking is, why should we say that the most prominent person goes first? Maybe he goes last. Says the Gemara, Amar Amasin Amar Kra, V'yichtav Moshe Satara Azois, V'yitna El Kahana B'nei Levi. Is the question, Ata Anoa Yadano, the Kahana B'nei Levi Ninu? Don't we know that the Kahanim are the sons of Levi? Why does the Pasuk have to call the B'nei Levi? To teach us Kohen B'reish V'adah Levi. To teach us this order Kohen Levi V'Yisrael. Rav Yitzchak Nafchama, a different source, Mehocha. V'nikshu Kahana B'nei Levi. Again, the question is, Ata Kahanim, the Kahanim b'lei Levi ninu. Why does it have to say it? Lekoyin b'reish v'had Levi. Rav Ashi Yama Mahacha b'nei Amram, Amram u'Moisha v'yibadol Amram l'kdishoy kodesh hakadoshim. Teaching us that the Kohen has special sanctification that he goes first. Rav Yechiel bar Abba Omar mehacha v'kidashto l'chol davish v'kedusha. For any davish b'kedusha, a kohen goes first. Tanit be'er b'shmol, and in fact, the Bryce expounds on this. For kiddashtoy, l'chol davish b'kedusha. For any davish b'kedusha, talochi is l'ftoich rishon. He's the first to address if there's going to be many people speaking. L'varach rishon, he makes the bracha first. Ulita mani yofer rishon, he takes the first nice portion. So now we need to understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that the reason the Kohen gets the first Aliyah is Ibnei Daki Shalom, and has nothing to do with Daki Shalom. Daraisihi. We have a Daraisihi, Kidashto. Answers the Gemara. Amalei, mid Daraisi Ibnei Daki Shalom. The Mishnah is explaining the basis of the Torah's rule. Why did the Torah say that a Kohen should go first? Ibnei Daki Shalom. Ask the Gemara. Kol Torah kula nami b'dakir shalom. All the rules of the Torah are based on dakir shalom. The Ksiv, as the pasuk says, Durchei dachi noyam v'chol nesiva seh shalom. Elam abaya l'chremar. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us is the following din. The Tanya, shnayim mamtin zel zebekara. If two people are shearing and taking food from a communal platter, one shouldn't put his hands in to take from the plate unless the other person is also. However, if you have shloisha, if you have three people together, eimam tinen. Two do not have to wait for one. Another halach is, habitzeya, when a group of people are eating together, the one who makes the hamaitzi and cuts the bread, he is the one that poishe jodat chila. He could reach first for the condiments. It doesn't make a difference who he is in terms of prominence amongst the group. Says the Gemara, however, if this person, let's say I am the balabos in my home, and therefore I'm the baitseya, but I want to show respect to my Rebbe, only shigolimimenu, the lochas are just beyodai, I have the right to be meichel my position. Says the Gemara, for Amma Marala, regarding this rabbi tortoise, loishon al basuda, by meal, somebody can be meichel his position. Our basic necessity when it comes to a shul, doslan suye, if we're going to start, if the kohen is going to start giving up his position, there's going to be a question of possible disagreement. There, kohen goes before Levi, goes before Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Ara Masa, how the Amr basic necessity loy, this that we said in the basic necessity, we can't change the order. Loy Amar el b'shabbos of Yom Tovim, only in Shabbos Yom Tov the Shchichei Rabbim. Av b'shenim chamishi, when there aren't so many people loy, says Taisvis, this was only in their times, that not that many people attended shul on Monday and Thursday. But nowadays, Taisvis says already in his times, where people attend shul regularly on Monday and Thursday, just like they attend the entire week, Monday and Thursday are no different than the rest of the week. Ask the Gemara, any Rav Kahuna Karbikani B'Shavs of Yantanim, Rav Huna, who was not a Kayan, took the first Aliyah on Shabbos and Yantif. Says the Gemara, Shani Rav Huna. Rav Huna is different. The Tafila of Ami Rav Asi, even people as great as Rav Ami Rav Asi, who were the Kohani Chshiv Dat Yisrael, were the most distinguished Kohanim in Etz Yisrael, make it have a Kaifalai. And therefore, when it comes to somebody like Rav Huna, everybody agrees that the Kayan, that Rav Huna, even though he's not a Kayan, goes first. So as the Rishonim summarize, if the person is a very great person, like Rav Huna, he goes first. If the person, but under other circumstances, the Kohen goes before everyone else. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained, that's how we could understand three psukim that follow each other consecutively in Mishlei. The pasuk says, Yikari mipninim, v'kal chafetzel lo yishvaba, oirich yamim b'mino, so explain in the farsha. Yikarim Yipninim teaches us that somebody who's a Talmud Chacham is more prominent than the Kohen Gadol HaNichnas Lefnei Lefnim, and therefore somebody like him, somebody like Rav Huna, who our Gemara just identified, is the first person to get an Aliyah. Yikarim Yipninim. Under other circumstances, if the Kohen, otherwise the Kohen should go first, and Oyruch Mamim Minoi B'Smail Oish V'Chavit, and even if the person, the Yisrael, is a bigger Talmud Chacham than the Kohen, he should give up and say to the Kohen, you go first. And for a person acting that way, teaches us the Pasuk, he will have the bracha of Oyrich Yom Bimino B'Smaila Oishav Chavit. Why? Because he acted as our Gemara just taught him to act. Durcher Dachinoyam V'Chol Nesiva Seher Shalom. However, the Rishonim say, based on our Gemara, we see that only in the shul, where there's a concern of Osilin Suye, did Chazal say that the Kohen should always get the first Aliyah. But in other circumstances, says the Martcha and other Rishonim, we see from our Gemara that a Kohen can give up his position of being first. The Taz, however, says that the only time that the Kohen can give up his first position is when it gives him, when he has something personal to gain from it. If he doesn't have anything personal to gain from it, the halach is he can't give up his position according to the Taz. The Paiskim also discuss what is the halacha if they're selling aliyahs and there's only one kohen, or if the first aliyah is a specifically very choshev aliyah, can we sell, not give it to the kohen? And as it seems that the paiskim hold the following: certainly, one should not, on a regular basis, ignore the kohen's position of getting the first aliyah. We should not ignore that that position that is due to the kohanim. However, if it's on a special situation where there's only one kohen and it's yontif and they want to sell the aliyahs, and if there's only one kohen, obviously the price for that aliyah will not remain high, or if there was a special minig on a special aliyah, even if it's the first aliyah, the place can discuss about the first aliyah or Parshas Bereishis, where they used to bid for that aliyah very high amounts of money. There the halacha perhaps is that, say the Paiskim, that we could force the Kayan to forego his opportunity to get the first aliyah. Amar Abayi, says Abayi, Nakpinan, ain't Shem Kayan, if there is no Kayan in the shul, the spar the chavila, everything is unraveled. And Rashi quotes two opinions. The first opinion is that the Levi doesn't get any aliyah, and the second opinion that Rashi says is that we don't follow the special order that the Levi goes before Yisrael, but here Yisrael could get an aliyah before Levi. And the Chassam Soif explains this opinion. He says because the entire prominence of the Levium is because they are assisting the Kohanim. In a situation where there are no Kohanim, that prominence doesn't exist. Vomer, Abayin Naktinan, Ein Sham Levi, if there is no Levi, Kaira Kohen. A Kohen reads in his place. Ask the Gemara, Eini, Vomer Rabbi Yochanan, Kohen Acha Kohen Lo Yikro. We should not let one Kohen get aliyah after another Kohen, Mishum Gomer Shal Rishon, because people will be say that the reason we called up a second Kohen is because we discovered that the first Kohen is really not a Kohen. And similarly, Levi Ach Levi Lo Yikro, we shouldn't give an aliyah to one Levi after another Levi for the same concern, Mishum Gam Shneim. Here we're concerned about the position of both Leviim. And says the Gemara, Ki Karminan, what are we saying that one Kohen, that if there's no Levi, the Kohen gets two aliyahs one after another? It's not calling a second Kohen, rather means by Isa Kohen, we call up the same Kohen for two aliyahs, even though he's going to be making the brachas twice, one after the other. The Paisa can also say that this halacha, that we can't call one Kohen after another Kohen, is only when we're calling from the same Sefer Torah. But if we're reading from two different Sefer Torah, or in a situation where one gets Shvi and the other one gets Mafter, we can't call one coin after another coin. Ask the Gemara, Maishnat Levi Achalevi. Why, when the Braisa taught us that we can't call one Levi for an Aliyah after another Levi, the Mishnah was concerned about Gam Shneim, that we may be concerned either the first or the second Levi is not a real Levi. Damri, Chad Benayu Lav Levihu. Because people might say that one of them is not a Levi, either the first Oila or the second Oila. Ask the Gemara, Koin Acha Koin Nami. We should have the same concern. Why doesn't the Braisa use the same wording by one coin after another coin and say that both of them we should be concerned? Chaminayu Lav Koinu. Why is the Braisa only concerned about the first coin? Answers the Gemara, Kigoin, the Muchsalam Bavu, the High Shane of the Koinu. He's referring to a situation where everybody knows that the second coin is a coin. And therefore, nobody's going to think that he's a Levi. It's only that the first coins Yichus might be questioned. Says the Gemara, if we're speaking one Braisa, the case must be similar. Hachinami, so obviously we're referring to a situation, the Muchsuklam Bavu, the High Shane, the Levihu, where we know that the father of the second Levi is a Levi. So again, there's no question about his Yichus, yet the Braisa is concerned even about his Yichus. Ella, Amri, what are we concerned about? Even if we know that the second person who got an aliyah who his father was, that it was a Levi, we're still concerned that maybe the father married a Mamzeres or a Nesina, who, if a Levi marries such a woman, Pasle Lazare, his child is no longer considered a Levi, his child is considered Yisrael. And that's why people see that if a Levi got the first Aliyah and he got the second Aliyah, even if they know his father was a Levi, they're going to think that he is the child of an improper marriage, and that's why he has the status of Yisrael. So we should have the same concern by a Kohen. Even if we know that the father of this person who got the second Aliyah was a Kohen, maybe we should be concerned, Grusha Chalutza Nasif, that his father, the Kohen, married a Grusha Chalutza, who a Kohen may not marry, V'achli Lazare, and his child is not a Kohen. And Rav Chanan says, Amor de Gavart. Rav Chanan says that even though this Kohen married a woman who only a Kohen may not marry, a Levi may marry such a woman, so maybe if a Kohen marries a woman whom he's not allowed to marry, his child should at least be a Levi. Says Rav Chanan, we don't look at a Kohen as a Levi plus, and therefore if he for a reason should lose that plus, he reverts back to being a Levi. A Kohen is a Kohen, and if for some reason as in our case, his father married Grusha Chalutza, and the child is not a Kohen, then he reverts to being Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Soif, Soif. Levi mi ahava. Levi mi kahava. Would this boy be considered Levi? He'd be considered Yisrael. So if his son reads in the place of a Levi, nobody's going to think that he's the child of an improper marriage. Because if he would be a child of a proper marriage, why is he getting Sheni? He should get Shlishi. So it's a proof. That's why we don't have to be concerned. Now ask the Gemara Laman. Who are you worried about? People not knowing that might come to say that he's not a proper Kohen. Ili Yoshrim, if we're people who are there for the whole laning, Hakachav Chazalei, that the see that the first Kohen was included in the people who are supposed to get seven Aliyahs, and therefore he's obviously a valid Kohen. The concern is, Liyotzim, we're concerned that people may walk out of the shul in the middle of laning. If they walk out of shul in the middle of laning, they will say that the first Kohen was discovered to be a disqualified Kohen, and therefore they called up a second Kohen, and only started the Shiva Kruim, the seven people who were supposed to get Aliyahs, from the second Kohen that was called up, because they didn't want to count the first Kohen's Aliyah. The people who aren't there for the whole laning will not know truly what happened, and because of them, the halacha is that we should not call up one Kohen after another Kohen.